You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Kelsey Trevitt is a student of philosophy, politics, and economics at the University of Oxford. They're also a co-chair of the Young Greens of England and Wales. Through their work, Kelsey is doing what young people do best, working hard to ignite change and make the world a better place for future generations. And Kelsey joins me on the line now to chat their work on the public platform and why it's important more young people choose to raise their voice. Hi, Kelsey. It's so nice to have you here.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So you're so vocal, you're so active online, you're so active in the political and the public sphere. Was that always the case? Did you start very young?
No, I didn't. I mean, some people would say I'm too vocal, but I think like I started when I was a teenager, but I think it really stems back to as a child and kind of my family and them being really, really keen that you know, the challenges that I faced as kind of at the time a very young sort of blind, you know, going through primary school and secondary school, they were super keen that I was independent and able to self-advocate for myself and able to kind of like have the confidence and the independence to sort of speak for myself. And I think, you know, that goes so far. And as I sort of got older and began to become aware of, you know, sort of more broadly the world around me and kind of, you know, other things going on, that very much reached out into having the confidence, which, you know, took time to develop, but the confidence to speak out about things, you know, more broad than just kind of my own sort of needs or my own interests in that sense. I think it really stems back to that.
Why do you think it's so important that young people like yourself, and especially young people that represent minority groups, get that voice on the public platform?
I mean, it's so important. We've seen, you know, over decades things have improved, but there's still a massive underrepresentation of sort of traditionally marginalized groups and young people who, you know, in public life, in politics, in all sorts of areas. And I think, you know, not to sound too cliche, but, you know, at some point, you know, young people to start with are going to be the ones who are, you know, inheriting, you know, the world around us as we get older, but also the voices of those who are, you know, typically underrepresented, you know, our voices matter too, and our voices are important. And I don't think it's right to say that, you know, we should only have an input on decisions that directly affect us, because every decision directly affects everybody, you know. Especially coming from like a politics background, there is no decision that, you know, just affects a certain group of people. And so I think it's really important that those voices that have traditionally been left out of politics, or of, you know, it goes broader than just politics, but those voices that have typically been left out need to be heard, need to be platformed, and we need to have, you know, not just a voice at the table, but engagement in those processes as well.
Because you're offering a very, I guess, well, unique is a one way to say it, but you're offering a point of view that is often the important one, and you often come from knowledge of things that directly affect you. So it seems ridiculous that you'll have those big decisions made about you, but without consulting the actual group they impact.
No, precisely. And I think that's really what spurs me on. As a sort of young teenager, the thing that really, really got to me is that decisions about education and my education in terms of what I could access in school, what I was able to do and what I was able to kind of achieve as a young blind student at the time, were very much out of my hands, but they were people very much wanted, you know, certain people wanted to make those decisions for me and decide what I could and couldn't do. And so I think that's really kind of sparked within me a strong belief and, you know, an understanding that so often decisions are made for people or for kind of you know, traditionally underrepresented groups rather than with them. And I think it's so important that, you know, I work on the principle of nothing about us without us, and I think that's just so crucial. And I've learned that from experience, and I know how important that is, not just for people to come and talk to me and say, you know, what do you think, but also for me sometimes to stop and say, I don't know enough about this, or it's not, you know, it doesn't, like, it's not something I have direct experience of, so who can I go to, you know, whose voices should I be listening to try and make decisions or kind of work out how to think about things.
It could also mean that people become more open to, let's say they don't understand sight loss, they become more open to learning from someone who has visual impairment. And you've had a really, I would say, unpleasant encounter earlier this year.
Yeah, so earlier on in the summer, on a train back from holiday, I was traveling back, and I think you're right. Like this did open up a conversation about kind of like sort of a broader conversation. But I was on the train back from London, just sat minding my own business, and a parent, I assume, of a child, was speaking to their child who was, you know, having a loud moment, but only a young child. And they're asking why I was traveling with a white cane. They're asking why I had a white cane. And the parent went, "Oh, you know, they're blind, and if you don't start behaving, that's what will happen to you too."
How did that? That's such a ridiculous statement. How did that make you feel?
Do you know, at the time, and it sounds awful at the time, I was more shocked than like than upset or angry. I was very much just kind of like, I think, you know, I'm not naive to the fact that there are really still quite strong ableist attitudes in some parts of society, and that really needs tackling. I think it's really rare to get it that explicitly or that directly, and so it really did take me by surprise. And I'm a relatively confident person and relatively kind of self-assured as things go, but was very kind of shocked. And then just, you know, my primary concern was really for that child, because that's, you know, an awful way to be treated. But I think it's really indicative of kind of certain attitudes that still prevail among some people, which is just it's really sad to see, but also it shows how much more work we have to do to make sure that those kind of attitudes are tackled, you know, head on.
And it's a work you can only do if you do offer that platform to people from minority groups.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had situations where people have tried to speak on my behalf, you know, saying what, you know, a blind or severely visually impaired person can or cannot do. And it's, you know, that's frustrating, and it's wrong. And it's the same for anything else. You know, we don't speak over people who have direct experience and who have the expertise and the knowledge to start those conversations and to talk about their experiences. You make sure that we're platforming the voices of those who are affected by these kinds of things, to make sure that we can improve society for everyone.
So, what would you say to anyone that perhaps thinks you're maybe you mentioned this earlier, you said some people think you're maybe a bit too vocal. What would you say to them if you had an opportunity?
I think the first thing is probably unfollow me on Twitter, because that's the worst. But I think, you know, I think it's important to be vocal. I think it's really important that, you know, whatever it might be, whether it's because, you know, you're from a sort of traditionally marginalized group, or whether you're a young person and don't feel that your voice is important, it is important. And it's so crucial that if you have the platform and have the ability and have the desire to put your voice out there and to make your opinions heard, they are important and they are valid and legitimate and just as equal as anyone else's. And it's so important that they are shared, and that you're able to express them. But not only, you know, able to express them, but they are also listened to and acted upon in a meaningful way. And the only way to do that is to put those opinions out there, to show that young people or people from traditionally marginalized groups, or people whose voices are not normally heard, to show that their opinions are strong and important, and they really do matter. And that's how we kind of fight for a place at the table and a better society and a more inclusive society.
Brilliant, Kelsey. I just have a one final question. So, for anyone out there that would love to follow you and would love to hear what you have to say, how do we do that?
Your best place, to be honest, is probably Twitter. So my Twitter is at could be Kel. That's like could be and then Kel, KEL, on Twitter, and it's the same on Instagram as well.
Kelsey Threvet, thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.